As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on The Athletic Podcast Network.
That is hammered!
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry. You know, anything travels that far ought to have a damn stewardess on it, don't you think?
High drive! Left field! It is out of here!
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
You're listening to The Roundtable with Grant Brisby, Andy McCullough, and Mark Carrig on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode number 82 of The Roundtable. I'm Grant Brisby. I'm here with Andy McCullough and a much younger, fresher-looking Mark Carrig, who goes by the name of Stephen Nesbitt. Stephen, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining and pinch-hitting for Carrig.
I'm always happy to help bring up the level on this show.
The energy, the punctuality improves a ton. It's 9:03 and we're already rolling. So, Andy, what's up?
Nez is on time. He's probably going to pay attention for at least 40 of the 45 minutes that we're doing it, as compared to Mark, who gives us about 5 minutes of his time most episodes. So I'm excited.
Andy, are you in Florida?
No, I'm in Arizona.
You have a Florida shirt on.
Yeah, I do. I do have, it's Vineyard Vines. My wife dropped me off at the Vineyard Vines and she said to herself, what's the worst that could happen? And this is the shirt I came out with. So, you know, it's nice.
Did it cost more because the patterns are so complicated?
Hey, whoa.
All right. Is that what,
hey, look, I'm Dan Flashes. Everyone laughs at me, even though there's no jokes. Ha 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 ha. So funny. There's a reason SNL rejected all these sketches. All right.
Oh, man. So bitter. All right. Let's talk baseball. We joke a lot on this podcast about how we don't like baseball or watch baseball. And those are jokes. Those are jokes. I'm particularly baseball obsessed. Always have been. I've got a picture of me meeting Johnny Lemaster in a Kaiser when I was like 4.
And what a sentence.
It. Yeah. And Andy, I know that you came later to baseball just by in terms of your profession, but you like the sport. Nez, I'm assuming you like it, and that's why you're here. We all like baseball, right?
I'm hoping to get there someday.
All right. But can you imagine being in this profession and not liking baseball? That's the question. That's the question for us today, which leads us to Anthony Rendon. I would just stop asking him questions.
I strongly disagree. I think he should talk every day. He's great.
Yeah, it doesn't even make me mad. Like, you see the quote tweets on, like, Sam's tweet, and people are really fired up. Like, how can you play baseball? It's not like you're working, at a hedge fund or something. He is just such a grumpy, he's a grumpy cat. I'll just say it right now. He's a grumpy cat. But you know what you're going to get? It's almost like a Marvel movie now. It's like, all right.
Well, I also think what he said is not controversial if someone else said it. So, Grant, do you have the bell handy?
I've got two dogs on me. It's right there. Okay. I'm pointing at it.
Okay, so Grant's pointing at the bell. If you asked, for example, someone like Clayton Kershaw, is baseball your number one priority? He would most likely say, no, my number one priorities are my faith, my family, and then baseball comes first. You know, if you asked, you know, Freddie Freeman, if you asked, you know, who knows? If you asked the overwhelming majority of baseball players, they would list their priorities in that order. The difference between the overwhelming majority of Major League Baseball players and Anthony Rendon is that they play baseball more often than he does, and he does not. Whether, you know, some of it is obviously injury, and there are folks, you know, within the game, folks within his organization who believe he's not particularly invested in, you know, extending his career and making the most of it. So it's not really what he said. It's just, you know, the soundtrack to the actions. There's really nothing Anthony, like if Anthony Rendon came out and said, like, this is the year, man, like I'm giving 130%, would people have been like, oh, all is forgiven? No, it's just because he hasn't been on the field. I find his act to be quite amusing. When he was good, he was the same way. You know, when he was with the Nationals, he was the same flippant, you know, sarcastic guy. He was open about, you know, like his sort of ambivalence toward baseball. I mean, I think I've told this story on the pod before, and like no one ever really wrote about it, but like it stuck with me. At the 2019 World Series, when he was with the Nationals, he was asked a question about Ryan Zimmerman, who I believe was like 35. And he was like, you know, talk about what Zimmerman's done. And he was kind of raving, like, you know, this guy is, you know, he keeps himself in shape. He's so valuable. You know, he's really pushing. He's still out there at 35. You know, it's really impressive. And Rendon was 30 at the time. And the follow-up was like, so what do you see yourself doing at 35? And he goes, hopefully not playing baseball. And then he signed a 7-year contract that winter. So, you know, this, like, we've all seen this coming. I don't know. Anyway, I'm monologuing.
Ever since our buddy Sam Blum put him on blast like he loves to do, just putting transcripts out there and letting them speak for themselves, I was thinking, what would I say if someone asked me, is like, if you work at The Athletic, is that your top priority? I'd be like, no. I mean, there's family, you know, faith, there's the lawn. But like, it's it's there. I love working here. I enjoy it. But I guess I don't make the same millions that he does. So there is, it's like, it's bad PR, but it's also, I'm fine with him saying that. He clearly doesn't care about PR, so let's go for it. What stuck out to me about that whole conversation was, we knew what he was going to say, basically, so it's just like the shock of seeing him actually say it that is making headlines, because it's more a semantic argument to me, like, is it a top priority versus is it a priority for you? But what I loved was the detail about him starting with it, that this came up for him when he was looking through his emails, because he needs to make space like all of us in our Gmail folder, and he's going through like a decade back, 2014 emails that he wrote like a pro con list about keeping going in the game. Dude, he had just come off like a fifth place finish in the MVP that year. If he was like unsure about if he wanted to continue at that point, maybe if this has any impact, maybe teams will be a little more careful in the future before they give a guy a big contract, just to be like, hey, let me talk to everybody around you to make sure that, like, you still want to probably keep playing into your 30s. That's going to be a thing for us if you don't.
By the way, if we were allowed to bet on baseball, I would love to place a wager that he does not have a Gmail account but uses a rice.edu account that he's had ever since he matriculated there.
That's a good bet. That is a good bet.
I would love to get some action on that.
There is a definite genre of baseball player who is good at the game, who has always been good at the game, but maybe their passion is the ballet or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between being a professional baseball player and having a passion. You can see the players who do, right? You can see the players, they just, you know, hey, let's play two. Let's go out. And they love it and they love everything about it. And then there's the players who just, they were always good at it. And then they kept shoveling money towards them. And now they're doing what they're doing. And the game and the grain. Yeah. But honestly, I can identify that because when I'm writing, it's not as if I'm like, oh, hell yeah. You know, verb, you know, conjugate that. Yeah. Ooh, adjective. Hell yeah. Oh, this is my brain on the paper and I'm fulfilled. Like, no, sometimes it's a grind. And I'm not one of those writers who's just passionate. I was never in college when I was taking creative writing classes. I wasn't the one who like wanted to have writers groups and, you know, do share each other's writing and like give pointers and then go back and get excited to rework it. Like, I'm good at it, you know, and they've kept shoveling tens of thousands of dollars my direction, and so keep doing it, you know. So
they're shoveling tens of hundreds of dollars,
tens of hundreds, freelance. Just boom, $10 bill, boom, $10 bill.
I get paid in 50s every week.
But, you know, I mean, it's, I love my job. I love the Athletic. But it's, I could see if I had to fly, I don't know how many times they fly a year, but like, you know, 100 times a year, 50 times a year, whatever. If I had to fly and grind in, like, see you chuckleheads in the plane in the clubhouse for 13 hours a day, it might really sap my love of writing. You know what I mean? Like, there might be, that might take priority over the craft itself. This has gotten a little meta.
Did you see the name he invoked at the end? He was like, listen, people don't like everybody. Barry Bonds, arguably the greatest player to ever play the game, and people still hate him. Barry Bonds also played 140 plus games 15 times in his career. So, you know what? Same guy, different conversation.
Good genes. Good genes. You know, that's how he was able to play so many games, especially as he got into his 40s. Just good genes, exercise routines. Sorry, okay. Andy.
I think it is to segue slightly, because I feel like we're all kind of in agreement on Rendon. The issue is that he doesn't play baseball. I find his comments to be generally amusing. The issue is just that, like, he hasn't played more than, like, he hasn't played 60 games since, like, 2019. But it does sort of get into the thing that executives will tell you, like, free agency, not the best way to build your team. And there's a reason why four of the top free agents, all represented by Scott Boras, the same man who represented Anthony Rendon, are still on the market. And that's kind of been, like, there's been, like, two things everyone's talking about here in Arizona, right? And we'll get to this because Steven did such a good job writing about it, how the jerseys are awful. The jerseys are so bad, the new ones. And then that's what all the players are talking about. They're just like, can you believe, what the f- is this f-? And the executives are just like, oh, Boras is in a bit of a pickle, isn't he? You know, just, and they're sort of like taking delight in it, you know, because they've been sort of butting heads for, you know, genuinely three decades. And so there is, it's a very, you know, Ken Rosenthal did a really good job writing about it today. Like, Cody Bellinger still available. Matt Chapman still available. Blake Snell, reigning Cy Young Award winner, still available. Jordan Montgomery, postseason hero, still available. And there's no real movement in sight.
It's wild. And if you're thinking like, oh, well, they'll just sign a one-year pillow contract and be out there next offseason, that doesn't fly for me if I'm Bellinger or Snell, two of the highest variance players you can possibly imagine. They should, the first time someone offered them 5 years, 6 years, 7 years in November or whatever, take it. Take it. Because if you're going to do a one-year deal and then Blake Snell, I don't know, he tears a fingernail or something, he's out for a couple months and he's not getting that deal again this offseason. If Bellinger shows any hint that last season was the exception and not the new rule, he's not getting a big-time deal. I don't know. I'm obviously not Scott Boras. I've got the brain for the puns, but not the contracts. I think that should have been the priority entering the offseason, was just making sure this didn't happen. That was 1A. 1B was getting the best contract he could for his clients. And I think that starts with 1A and just not extending it, because you wrote biffed it. And that's a perfect word. He's biffed it.
It's a tough spot. Yeah. And especially since Bellinger took a pillow contract last year. It's kind of hard to, you know, he takes a pillow contract, has a pretty good platform here, and then take another one. That's a tough sell.
There's the sort of devilish glee outcome here, which is where what Ken wrote, that all these executives are on the record now saying kind of like, yeah, we're kind of happy. I don't think any additions are coming in our camp. And Farhan Zaidi, the quote was, it's a little more disruptive to add at this point. Like, is that true? I think you're fine. I think the Phillies did all right with bringing in Harper late. The Padres did all right bringing in Machado late. So I think that's mostly bluster. But I think the more realistic outcome is they may be painted into a corner enough that they take a more creative deal, I think. It's not just loads of money heaped upon. It's the opt-out after every year. It is the opt-outs after 2, 4, and 6, whatever. I think that's more likely where we're headed, is these guys end up making the money that we expected them to get. But yeah, I don't think executives mind Boras looking at least something less than the hero he's often painted as in baseball circles for getting guys their money. I think they're enjoying that he's, I don't know, I guess kind of having to wait out for like an injury at this point. Or just take a deal that's already on the table.
It's patently absurd to claim that it's disruptive to bring in a baseball player. That, like, at least some of the other teams are just like, we don't have the money. Or, like, the Cubs were like, I don't know, we're just kind of waiting for Bellinger's price to come down, basically. Like, to say it's disruptive, oh, no, we've brought in Matt Chapman. How will we survive this huge personality coming in?
But also the first 2 months of the season don't mean anything. But we certainly can't bring in somebody in February.
It's just, yeah, it's right. It's just sort of like it is. It's such a, I've said this before, like all of these players are good and all of them are flawed. Bellinger is especially strange. I'm just like kind of low on Chapman in general. You wouldn't hate him. Like you can play on the team. Like he's a good player. You know, it's just, I don't feel crazy about like a 5-year commitment to a player with his offensive profile. You know, Montgomery is a number three starter, and like we know what the price is for number three starters, and clearly like he is seeking more than that. And Snell is a weird one. So you've got, you know, like kind of two weird ones. One where I think the industry is just leery of kind of what he's going to do as a hitter, and the other one, we just kind of know what this guy is and they're asking for too much. And also, as you know, Ken has reported, as you know, former friend of the show Lindsay Adler has reported, you know, like when teams have called on Montgomery, you know, they are saying that Boris is directing them to Snell. Boris denies that, but that's also, you know, what executives often say is part of his playbook, is kind of choreographing moves, you know, to keep places open for, you know, he's tends to have the emerald chessboard out and to move all the pieces, and he just hasn't been able to do that.
All right, let me go through our own Tim Britton's very, very good predictions, projections, I should say. They're projections of what these players are going to get. To him, the number four free agent on the market was Cody Bellinger. His projection at the start of the offseason was 6 years, $162 million. More or less? More or less.
Yeah, I'll take the under on that one. But the over's still in play.
You think so?
It's still in play.
I think Bellinger, he could still be over, but it's a 27 AAV. If he gets 6 years, maybe it's a little bit lower. I could see them going a little bit shorter, an opt-out, you know, a situational opt-out that makes it higher at the end if he wants to stay in.
Okay, well, you know, I'll skip that down to the number eight free agent, Matt Chapman, who Tim Britton's a very excellent projection. 5 years, $95 million. That sounds about right to me at this point.
I'm going to take the under on that.
Take the under.
There's just not many teams that are that desperate for a third baseman. You know, after the D-backs traded for Eugenio Suarez, like that filled up a hole. And then the Cubs probably don't want to play, you know, Christopher Morel at third base, but they're certainly threatening to do it. And they seem locked in on Bellinger more so than Chapman. And so, you know, there's some chatter about Seattle, I guess. But yeah, as producer Brian says, the Giants have Pablo Sandoval back. So you know, they're good there.
Yeah, I feel like rewind a couple of years, it would have been surprising that Chapman wouldn't hit 100 million. But I don't think he does here, especially with it going this long. It was very clear who the suitors are. I don't think there's a bidding war for Chapman, despite how good he is defensively.
Blake Snell, 5 years, $135 million. That seems kind of reasonable for a team that's desperate if you're maybe the Yankees and want another starting pitcher. But I don't know. Does he get 5 years, $135 over or under?
I take the over.
Yeah, me too.
On that. I take the over. The issue, you know, with the Yankees, I believe, you know, that Chris Kirschner and Brendan Cuddy wrote about it, is like with the luxury tax, like a 1 year $40 million deal costs $84 million. So like, because they're in the penalty phase, you know, adding Soto and, you know, they still have, you know, Judge and Cole and Stanton and all these sort of big money guys, still DJ LeMahieu and, you know, all this stuff. So they like, yeah. So the Yankees make a lot of sense for Snell in a vacuum because this is very much a win now year. They really need to maximize, you know, this 1 year with Soto, even if they think they have a chance of bringing him back. But, you know, with the way that the luxury tax is set up, you know, they're kind of claiming that, you know, they're handcuffed. They made an offer, they were in on him, and, you know, but they made the offer, I believe, before they signed Marcus Stroman. That's a weird spot. Like the Dodgers would have made a lot of sense for him, but that was before they acquired Yamamoto, Glasnow, Paxton, you know, all that stuff.
They did a little bit of work. I think if you're sort of game theorying this out as a GM, and these projections for Snell and Montgomery were both 5 years, and the difference was $27 million a year and $21 million a year, I think you see it as a win that you're going this deep in the offseason. They're still available. You're waiting them out. In theory, maybe these guys would have gotten even more, I guess, overpaid in your mind early in the offseason. But they're still here. And if you can get them at that price, I'd pay 27 to Snell before I'd pay 21 to Montgomery. Snell has the upside to give you Cy Young's. Montgomery doesn't. I mean, he can be a very productive pitcher. But I think you wait it out. You pay him that price or even a little bit above. I think you actually think you're getting a little bit of a bargain based on, I'm sure, what Boris thought he was going to get at the outset of the offseason.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, and I'll just toss one other contract in here. Sonny Gray, 3 years, $75 million. Boy, that looks smart. Boy, that looks smart from here. That just that
we
deal.
We love that deal from the start, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that deal looked good. I mean, we're pro labor, you know, so we would have liked to see him get more. But yeah, the Cardinals did well there. That was striking when the iron was hot in the hot stove. I'm mixing metaphors, but yeah, that's just a good deal. At the same time, if you're a team that is still looking for pitching, and that, you know, that's most teams, not all teams, but every team can add an upgrade to the rotation for the most part. They've got to be so tempting, you know, just to go out to Costco and buy a six-pack of Blake Snell at this late date. That just sounds so, like, you can just make your team better. Like, you can just add 4 wins, you know, to your projection.
It's just all a matter of prices, right? Like, if it's 27 million a year, like, okay, sounds good, but it's probably not 27 million a year. It's probably starts with a 3, you know, and inches, and you know, Scott Boras can argue like this is a 2-time Cy Young award winner. Look at how he compares to other 2-time Cy Young award winners, you know, look at his age, look at his mileage, you know, he's like, he is entering his age 31 season, but he hasn't, you know, been pushed hard, so like you can argue that his inability to go deep in games actually makes him theoretically more durable. You can look at how he's pitched since the second half of last year, so 2022. I mean, like, he's just been lights out. Like, you can make a lot of these arguments. The thing is, this is the industry also knows that, like, they have baseball reference too, you know. Like, they can create their own arbitrary endpoints to make their arguments. And so oh, my phone is ringing here.
Is that so in a hotel room?
Yeah, I'm in a hotel room. Just give me a second, guys.
Yeah, no.
We can take this live.
We're not cutting this. Yeah, no.
Hello? Okay, thank you for letting me know.
Producer Brian said, I bet it's Kershaw. Let's ask him how Clayton is.
Is Clayton in the lobby?
Fellas, it was a good thing I showered, because the hot water is going to be off until 5 p.m.
Oh, okay.
No. This is my priority, not faith and family.
There you go.
Where were we?
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top 3 things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will say this about Montgomery. his profile has a lower ceiling than Snell, for sure. Like that's clear. But since 2021, Snell has a 125 ERA plus, and Montgomery has a 121 ERA plus. Montgomery's steady. He's like, you're gonna get, you know, 185 innings or so of 120 ERA plus ball. For teams who like need like ballast in the middle of their rotation, like the Dodgers, for example. Like, I don't understand why the Giants aren't signing him, Grant. Like, why? You could use that type of player.
100%. Maybe the ceiling's not as high, but the floor is much higher. It wouldn't be like you look up in 5 years and Jordan Montgomery is still doing his thing and you'd be like, wow, how did that happen? Right. I've never seen that happen in baseball. It's like he seems like the kind of guy who could do that Mark Burley style and just, you know, never go the other way.
I just want to say that when the Giants bringing Pablo Sandoval to camp, even Bryce Harper, the patron saint of modern day pandering, is like, that's too much.
What are you talking about? He's a two-way player. Lower career ERA, higher career batting average than Shohei.
We can't disrupt the environment, but we do need to bring back this guy who hasn't been good in a decade.
I will say, though, my editor, Melissa Lockhart, who's really good at what she does and really has her finger on the pulse of prospectum and minor league stuff, she pointed out that this isn't as cute as it used to be because the minor leagues are so much smaller. You have so fewer roster spots. And so to get Pablo, even on a minor league deal, it's not necessarily something that doesn't have a cost. It probably doesn't, but you're talking, like the Giants had a guy, Carter Aldretti, who's not necessarily a prospect, but you could see one day if this works out. Well, they had to release him because they didn't have enough roster spots, stuff like that. I might have that wrong, so if you're listening, Carter, just check with your agent. I might have been...
If you're not released, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, you know what I mean. It's just the rosters are so much smaller than they used to be. So
as a pro labor guy, where do you fall on that? Because it's a man getting a job and then a man losing a job.
The billionaire should be able to pay for both jobs.
Seize the means of... No. Okay, so he was playing in Dubai last year. He's 37. What are we doing? Giants fans are sort of over nostalgia to the point where they are looking for a backup shortstop. Brandon Crawford is still available. He would be the left-handed backup to a right-handed shortstop. He would actually fit fairly well, and there's no clamoring. You know what I mean? You'll get a few fans going, yeah, well, what about Crawford? Hey, but most fans are like, that happened. That was great. Let's move forward. And so, yeah, I mean, get Pablo in to whack some dingers around the young players and tell stories and stuff like that, whatever. Come on, though. What are we doing here?
When Alex Pavlovich reported that he was coming to camp, I saw the tweet and I was like, oh, that's cool. I think it's nice that they're having instructors who are part of the connective tissue of the organization. Like, that's cool. Like, it's good to have him around. Oh, no, he's there and competing for a roster spot. Okay, cool. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Fourth place, whatever.
One of the quotes I liked from Farhan was he said, I wanted to stop the texts of his workout videos, constant text of his workout videos. And to be fair, he looks good. Like, I'm just going to say it, best shape of his life. You know, I don't know about that, but he looks good. He looked good. What are we doing here? Dubai, 37.
How about them uniforms, huh?
Yes. Steven, that was a heck of a story. I'm not necessarily like a fashionista. I'm not the guy when I showed off a hat on Twitter, someone was like, oh man, that's 47 instead of New Era or something. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, like I guess I whiffed that one. But even I can tell that these uniforms are trash, and you chased down that story.
It was me, but also like all of our reporters, to give credit. I sat in my house and called Fanatics and Nike, who didn't want to talk to me. And our reporters got a bunch of different quotes from around the league, and the boiled down version is really guys don't like it at all. on two fronts, it's the...
Can confirm.
It's the design issues, which is like weirdly small lettering. It's changes in things like the Cubby Blue and the Cardinals chain stitching, which I learned is a thing. The feel of it just guys say it feels cheaper. It feels like that replica you pick up at Dick's Sporting Goods or what did you say earlier, Kaiser? They sell stuff like that.
That's a hospital, but yeah.
Oh, that's a grocery store. So the feel of it is kind of weird. Nike's like, oh, it's stretcher breathable, but I honestly feel like there's kind of a thing where guys want it to be kind of like that majestic, you know, heavier jersey where you like feel like you're in the majors instead of the one you picked up with like mesh off the shelf. There's the other parts of it where guys like can't fit their legs in it. And they're like, you used to be able to customize this. You used to be able to customize this. Carlos Estevez and other relievers specifically, Tommy Canley, they're all just like, yeah, I can't fit in these anymore. You get like a couple different options of like slim fit, basically us getting jeans. And they just don't have the room they need. And so guys are really miffed about this. And we're at a point where honestly, like the most interesting part to me was that you had this whole sort of campaign of guys coming out and saying, actually, I love this. It was time for a new uniform. And this started at the All-Star game. And I kept looking it up just to be like, there is no list of like who's sponsored by Nike, but all these guys wear Nike and several of them I know to be sponsored. So I pointed that out. And I went on TV today with NBC News. And they asked me, they like aired those same quotes and they asked me like, you think it is? Guys will just get used to it. I was like, I don't mean to be like a massive skeptic here, but like all those guys are Nike guys. And it should be noted that all the people saying nice things about this wear Nike and have some incentive here. So there we are. I don't know if any change is going to come from it. Dansby Swanson kindly spoke with us and I thought was very reasonable saying, look, there's some things I'd like to change. I'm going to talk to Nike or I already have. So maybe some things can change. I do think it's too late to like actually make substantial changes. But I guess here we are.
The not customizable part is bananas to me.
It's hilarious.
I mean, it's like, so I'm just going to pull Sean Murphy, right? Who went viral for his butt. You have catchers who have like their power center is lower and they might have bigger legs and they might have bigger whatever. Like you need to customize that stuff.
Yeah. Sandblasters.
And then you have the guys who like, you know, tight pants Tommy, and you've got Walker Buehler, you know, if you
Robbie fart, Ray, I mean, geez.
If these guys fart, you can see the bubble run down the ankle. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like how do you not customize that? Because then you have guys who don't want that. Like I can't imagine pitching in tight pants like that. I think I'd be like the other, I'd be MC Hammer out there. That's how I'd want it. How do you not, like, I don't know. It's bananas.
I normally am, despite being one of the co-hosts of the only pro-labor podcast, I normally sort of like hand wave away ballplayer complaints about stuff. Because, you know, like that's what the money's for. And like, you know, it's a workplace. They like complaining about stuff. Their complaints are not more important than anyone else's workplace complaints. We just care about their workplace, right? And so I just kind of, you know, like when players will be like, you know, we don't get paid in spring training, right? And it's like, yeah, but you have a $12 million guaranteed contract,
Anthony,
that you will see at some point, you know? Like, I just don't care. But with this, I think the reason why this resonated so much with people is, one, the jerseys objectively look bad. And two, like, fans have been sort of suffering from this company, Fanatics, in trying to buy their gear, you know, for quite some time. And it's really, like, reached a fever pitch, you know, in the past, like, year or two, where they just buy stuff that is, like, crummy, you know, that like doesn't look great, doesn't feel great, doesn't fit right, has mistakes in it. I mean, there was like around the holidays, there was like threads of people opening, you know, Christmas presents or whatever. And it's like, you know, St. Louis Cardinals, but they're missing a C in Cardinals and stuff like that. And so like fans can really relate to just sort of like basically saying like, wow, that looks like, you know, the crummy jersey that I thought was going to be a lot nicer that I bought online. And so there's this sort of like, if this is affecting the actual ball players, right? If this is affecting the actual big league product, what are we doing? Like, what, this can't be allowed to stand. Like they have to go out there and look good. Like it's a visual medium. They have to like be wearing uniforms that fit, that don't look like the numbers are going to fall off. I mean, it's just kind of crazy.
It's like, what was it? I think it was Team Great Britain last year in the World Baseball Classic where everything just started falling off. Like they started losing their numbers and we'll see some of that. But you're right. There's so much built up frustration towards Fanatics, you know, well-deserved across all sports. They're going to start taking over the NHL jersey contract this winter. So people have frustrations over that. We have written some very critical stories about them. What's strange about this is like, this is a Nike designed, Nike engineered product just manufactured by Fanatics. So it's kind of like, who deserves more of the blame? Paul Lucas of UniWatch basically spelled out like Nike deserves the blame here. I tend to lean that way as well, but it's also like the Majestic company that used to make baseball jerseys until 2019, they were bought by Fanatics in 2017. So Fanatics kind of running all that. And then now the Nike jerseys are made at the exact same facility. It's just like, it's weird combination of companies being involved here. And it sort of hit that sweet spot of players were upset about it, so people cared. Fans were upset, so they cared. And Fanatics was involved, and so they just sort of right. Popped off. And then Manfred came out and said, like, basically everyone's going to get used to it. It's going to be great.
The lettering on the names makes no sense to me.
It feels like the easiest change, too.
Yeah, that looks like my Horsham Hawks jersey from Pop Warner. That's unacceptable.
It's weird to have unanimity on the internet when it comes to something, right? It's weird. You go online and if you tweet something like, I like the Beatles, you'll get someone in your mentions going, the Beatles are mid. You know what I mean? And it's like... That's just how it is. And I understand it. Like, some things are for some people, some things are not, and no one's going to agree on everything. But it's like, everyone can agree that Jason Stark is a treasure, and everyone can agree that Fanatics is the worst company of all time in every respect. Like, those are the only two things that people can agree on in the internet. And it just seems like, I don't know, like I said, I don't have a ton of sports gear, so I'm not really hip to the whole Fanatics thing. I just know that everyone hates him. There's not someone that pops in reply and goes, actually, I think they're kind of fine. It's just, no, they just stink and have stunk for a while. And I find it fascinating that they keep falling upward.
The argument that the NBC News reporter made earlier, just before my hit again on television, was that they had to be smaller letters because with the new fabric, fabric couldn't like hold larger letters. I'm like, that sounds like an issue, Nike, with the fabric. You probably
why is NBC News running talking points for Nike? Like, what the fuck? That is so bizarre. Like, what? These jerseys look like crap. Like, what? That is so weird.
I should try to link this, but the best part was the reporter showed a jersey of two Aaron Judge jerseys, old and new, to two fans. And the girl, I don't remember which one she picked, but this young boy said, no comment. He felt like 10 years old. It was great.
Oh, man. No, I don't understand it. I don't see where the... I think they should go back to wool. I think just go back to the wool. Those things were awesome. You know, I'm not the one wearing it. You know, they're itchy and hot. I don't care. They looked great. Get the old flannels back.
Boy, I had so many mentions in the comment section and on Twitter about Costanza. And I don't really know the reference. It's something about polyester. But everyone had the same reaction to the story.
Seinfeld's mid. No, I'm just kidding. I love Seinfeld. But yeah, I just don't see how a company that is so widely loathed, and I know that this is like baby brain stuff, like, you know, it's just, the answer is white capitalism or something Grant. Like this, but I just don't understand how they keep failing upwards.
I just don't get why John Fisher owns the A's. What the heck? What kind of system would permit this to happen? It starts with a C. Oh, I'm trying to remember what it's called. I learned this in college, yeah. But I was hungover. I don't remember.
I just think at some point someone say your product sucks and it's going to make us look bad. Maybe it won't make as much money as we think. I don't know. Baby brain.
Tony Clark said some stuff. I don't know. I mean, I suspect there will be some sort of changes to it. But, you know, because especially some of the stuff feels like simple, you know, especially the lettering and things. But it's nice to have the players complaining about something besides the baseballs.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I think that's a welcome change. I think it's a new year. You know, we haven't heard yet how the baseballs are somehow screwed up again, you know, because someone gave up a home run in April that they didn't think was a home run. So there's a mass conspiracy.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know, man. Nez, you wanted to talk about Trout a little bit. So why don't you start us off? We're going to go start with one Angels legend, move to another Angels legend to end it.
Mike Trout also got the transcript treatment from Sam Blum. And so Mike Trout, It didn't come across initially to me as like him speaking pretty forcefully, but Sam wrote later a pretty convincing story that like, oh, Mike Trout doesn't talk like this. Mike Trout doesn't say, I've been talking to our owner and GM and basically saying, push, 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 go get some more free agents that are still out there. And, you know, they've been sort of, I don't know if it was rumored or just simply linked as a pretty good landing spot for Blake Snell early in the offseason. It doesn't seem like there's any traction on that now, but sure, they could bring in some more guys. And yet Artie Moreno is out here basically saying like, we're expecting payroll to come down despite the fact that we lost the unicorn of baseball. And so Trout said like the easy way out would be for me to request a trade, and I'm not going to do that. But it kind of felt like he was leaving the door open to do that at some point. And so I like seeing this, spicy Mike Trout.
Yeah, it was like the initial tweets were like, Mike Trout says the, you know, the easy way out would be traded. But as Sam wrote, if you like, based on the whole conversation, it seems pretty clear Mike Trout's going to be asking for a trade in the near future. I mean, maybe not this year, whatever. Like the dilemma is that trading Mike Trout is not particularly easy anymore. The contract is onerous, and, you know, he, while he remains a transcendent talent when he is on the field, let me ask you guys, when do you think was the last time he played more than 140 games in a season?
2020.
2019?
2018.
18? 17?
Wow. For an outfielder entering his age 32 season, right, 140 games is perfectly reasonable, right? Like, you know, with days off and stuff like that. But he played 82 last year. Year before, it was 119, 36 in 2021. Was a bit hell, you know, 134 in 2019, 140 in 2018, 114 in 2017. He gets hurt. He gets hurt, you know, fairly often. And the last few ones have been longer, I think, than anyone expected. And so, you know, who's going to spend the money to take on the rest of his contract?
Trout is mid.
Dude, his offensive numbers are so, like, his baseball reference, he's going to retire someday. We'll look back at this and be like, are you kidding me? Like, the numbers aren't, obviously the playing numbers aren't there right now, which is brutal, but like, small sample or not, his numbers are consistently ridiculous. And his full seasons are not rookie season. His lowest one other than last year was a 939 OPS.
He's so good.
That's crazy. That is nuts.
But the contract is not easy to move. And I don't think the Angels could get like their pick of top 100 prospects. I think you either are eating money to get prospects or you're just saying here, free Trout with proof of purchase. You know, like, I don't see this as being something that rebuilds the Angels as much as it is just, okay, you know, we're going to let you run free in the field with other Mike Trouts.
On what planet do you see Artie Moreno eating money to get prospects?
Yeah. All right, fair enough. So it would just be, you know, maybe you can do some sort of weird trade where it's you're taking a bad contract back. Like maybe you sign Blake Snell to a big contract, and then next year you want to trade him because he had such a bad year, you know, and you trade for Mike Trout.
You know, it's rude to say, you know, hopeless, but it's a pretty bleak situation over there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if we get any progression or clarity on like what is his level of impatience here, because so he's going to be paid through 2030, $35.5 million. And he knows as well as we do, he doesn't know how many healthy seasons he has in front of him. And so if he gives us 4 great months here, he gets to July, he doesn't need to demand a trade right now. He's got 4 months to do that. And so if he has a 900 plus OPS, no injuries in the first half, and he looks ahead of that contract and says, I don't know how many more of these will be healthy years, I could absolutely see him saying, they made no effort. I made it clear to them. I wanted them to make an effort post-Shohei. They didn't do it. They had an opportunity. I'm going to demand a trade and figure out the money. Because, I don't think there's any reason for him to continue trying to give them fully healthy MVP-level seasons if they're clearly, like, pulling back a little bit. So I think this could be an interesting couple months here in Angel Land again.
The issue in trying to move a contract of that size up against a deadline is that you're not going to have the 29 other teams all interested. And so that's going to limit, like, if you're thinking in terms of good processes, they should have just traded him this winter. Like, they just should have. That's the good process there. But they're, you know, so if you are thinking about a contract of this size where it's going to be a complicated deal, do you want 4 suitors or do you want 12 suitors? There might not be 12 suitors, but you want the entire field open to you. And in midseason, you're just not going to have the entire field. Like, you know, you're just not going to have all the teams in there. But I don't know. I suspect at some point he will be traded, but I feel like it's probably going to be a year too late. Whenever it was, it already is. Like it are. They've already you know biffed it, as they say.
If they trade Trout, would we ever mention the Los Angeles Angels again on this podcast? Like Otani's got. Like I feel like we've talked so much Angels, and then it's going to be at some point in the podcast you're going to average it out, and we've talked about the Angels like a normal team because we're just not going to talk about them for 2 years. We're going to forget about them like the Twins.
One day we'll talk about the Cincinnati Reds. Not today, I'll tell you that much. But yeah. One day maybe.
No, because we're out of time. We're out of time, baby.
Yeah, next week.
It's a shame.
This has been episode number 82. We will be back next time. I believe it's 2 weeks. Why don't I ever check this? We'll be back in 2 weeks, and we will talk about... Hold on. We're going to talk about in 2 weeks... Jonathan India. No. Spencer Steer.
In 2 weeks, I'll be saying to you, hey, Grant, shouldn't the Giants just sign Jordan Montgomery? And you'll be like, shut up. I'm tired. I've had enough.
That's about right. That's about right.
It would be too disruptive to, Keston.
Keaton Wynn. It's his birthday today, you monster.
Keaton Wynn or
happy birthday, Keaton Wynn.
Blake Harrison or whoever, you know.
All right, episode 82. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Talk about baseball. That's what we do. See you then.
I was very wrong.